Well, you made it back, and the Martin Mysteries is now in the search engine. So if you say, Alexa, play me the Martin Mysteries podcast, there it is. Or play the previous chapter, or play the next chapter, and so on. But we're up to chapter 4, Reunions and Revelations.
Welcome to the Gettysburg Paradox.
Jude was jolted awake by the barn door banging open, harsh sunlight flooding in and making him shield his eyes. A Union soldier stood in the doorway, rifle at ready, his face set in hard lines. On your feet, Rebs! Roll call! Tucker caught his eye as Jude and he shuffled into line, a tiny nod, barely perceptible, but he understood the message was sent. The sergeant walked down the line and stopped as he reached Jude. Well, well, the little spy is awake. I'm not a spy, Jude said automatically. Shut up, the sergeant's eyes swept over him. You were found in Confederate territory dressed like no one's ever seen before, with papers in your pocket we can't make heads or tails of. If you're not a spy, what are you? A time traveler would probably not go over well. I'm just a kid, Jude said. I got lost. My brother and sister... Save it for the interrogation, the sergeant jerked his head at two guards. Take this one to Lieutenant Harris. The colonel wants answers before we move these prisoners north. They dragged him out of the barn and across a muddy yard to a tent where a thin-faced officer sat behind a camp desk, papers spread before him. Sit, Lieutenant Harris barked as he finished whatever he was reading, then turned his cold eyes on Jude. Your name? Jude Martin. Where are you from, Jude Martin? Pennsylvania. We're in Pennsylvania. What part are you from? Jude hesitated. Their home was near Harrisburg, but he didn't know if that saying that would help or hurt him. Near Philadelphia. You don't sound so sure. Well, I got hit in the head. Things are fuzzy. Harris's expression didn't change. The papers we found in your pocket. What are they? They're notes for school. Science class. Science class? Harris repeated the words like they tasted bad. These notes contain diagrams and equations we've never seen. Cesium oscillator and temporal displacement theory. Care to explain? Jude's heart was hammering. I can't. You're going to tell the truth, son. I don't have time for games. You can cooperate now, or I can make things uncomfortable. Your choice. The tent flap rustled, and a new voice cut through the tensions. Lieutenant Harris, a word? Jude turned. A tall man stood in the entrance, dressed in the simple uniform of a Union colonel. His beard full and dark, his eyes kind, despite the exhaustion around him. Harris jumped to his feet. Colonel Chamberlain, sir, I wasn't expecting. Clearly, Chamberlain stepped into the tent, his gaze moving from Harris to Jude and back again. I've been looking for this prisoner. He's needed for questioning at the Weichert farm. Harris' face went red. With respect, sir, my orders come from General Meade himself, Chamberlain cut him off. The prisoner will accompany me. You can file a complaint if you like, but I suspect the general has more pressing concerns at the moment. Harris looked like he wanted to argue, but something in Chamberlain's expression stopped him. Yes, sir. Of course, sir. Good, Chamberlain gestured to Jude. Come with me, Mr. Martin. Your brother and sister are waiting. Jude was shaking as they walked away from Harris' tent, past rows of Union soldiers preparing for another day of battle, toward a horse tied to a nearby post. How did you find me? He managed. Flynn, Clara, are they? They're safe at the Weichert farm, Chamberlain helped him mount behind a saddle. A young Confederate drummer arrived this morning with your message. Brave boy. Made it through 5 miles of enemy territory in the dark. He swung up in front of Jude. Your sister figured out the beacon from your grandfather's notes. They've been trying to activate it all morning. The oscillator is damaged, I'm told, but possibly repairable. Chamberlain kicked the horse into a trot. We have bigger concerns, though. The letter your sister carried, the one warning of the assassination plot, there have been developments. What kind of developments? Chamberlain was quiet for a moment. The only sounds, the clop of the hooves and the distant rumble of cannon fire. The battle continues, he said finally. Tomorrow will be the worst of it, a massive assault on our center that we're calling the Great Cannonade. Thousands will die, and somewhere in the chaos, someone is planning something that will change the course of history. The assassination. Yes, but not just that, Chamberlain turned his head slightly, his voice dropping. Last night, one of my scouts intercepted a Confederate courier. He was carrying orders. Orders that reference you by name, Jude. You and your siblings. The world seemed to tilt. That's impossible. We've only been here a day. And yet, there it is, Chamberlain's jaw tightened. Someone on the Confederate side knows who you are. Knows about the time machine. Knows about the letter, he paused. They're looking for you, and I don't think they intend to let you go home. The horse carried them on toward the farm, toward Flynn and Clara, toward a mystery that was growing deeper and more dangerous by the hour. Clara saw them coming from half a mile away. She'd been standing at the edge of the Weichert property, her eyes fixed on the road that wound down from the ridge. Every few minutes, another wagon would appear. More wounded, more supplies, more soldiers headed toward or away from the front. And each time, her heart would leap and then sink. But this time was different. This time, she recognized the figure on the horse, the smaller shape behind him, and she was running before she even knew she'd started. Jude! Her brother looked terrible, pale and dirty, with a bruise darkening one side of his face. But he was alive. He was alive, and when Chamberlain reined the horse to a stop, Jude stumbled off and gave Clara a hug. Flynn arrived a moment later. "So glad to find you guys," he said. "Not to ruin the moment," Flynn said, "but we've got problems. Big ones." "I know," Jude pulled back, fishing in his pocket for Papa's backup notebook. "Chamberlain told me. Somebody knows about us. The Confederates." "It's not just the Confederates," Flynn glanced around, lowering his voice. "Come on. We need to talk somewhere private." The hayloft of the Weichert barn was the closest thing to private they could find. Below, wounded soldiers groaned and surgeons worked their grim trade, but up here, among the dusty bales, the three siblings could finally speak freely. "Show him," Flynn said. Clara pulled out the letter, the mysterious letter that had appeared in her pocket, the one warning of an assassination that shouldn't exist. Jude read it twice, his face growing more troubled with each pass. "This is Chamberlain's handwriting?" "He confirmed it himself." "But dated 3 days from now." "Yeah," Flynn pulled out Papa's damaged notebook. "I found something in here, something about causal loops. Papa wrote about something called the Thornton paradox." "I know about it." Jude's eyes had gone distant, mind racing. "Papa mentioned it when we were building the time machine. He said it's the most dangerous thing about time travel. If you create a loop, an event that causes itself, it becomes fixed. You can't undo it without destroying the timeline. So the letter, it's either part of a loop or it's a fake designed to make us think it's part of a loop." Jude looked at his siblings. "Either way, someone wants us to believe that Lincoln is going to be assassinated at Gettysburg. The question is, why?" "Maybe because he's actually going to be assassinated," Flynn said. "But he wasn't. In our history, Lincoln wasn't killed until 1865 at Ford's Theater. John Wilkes Booth shot him. That's what happened." "But we're here now," Clara spoke slowly, working through the logic. "We came back in time. We changed things just by being here. What if our presence changes something that leads to an earlier assassination attempt?" The three of them sat in silence, the weight of that possibility pressing down on them. "Okay," Jude said finally, "we need to think about this systematically. First question, what do we actually know?" Flynn counted on his fingers. "One, we're stuck in 1863. Two, the time machine is destroyed, mostly. Anyway, I have the cesium oscillator. Three, Clara has a letter warning about an assassination on July 4th. Supposedly written by Chamberlain. And four, someone on the Confederate side knows who we are and is looking for us. Five, Clara added, the letter appeared in my pocket when I woke up. I didn't write it. Neither did you guys. So where did it come from?" "Could Papa have sent it somehow?" Jude asked. "Maybe. But why warn about an assassination that didn't happen? And why use Chamberlain's handwriting?" Jude was quiet for a moment. Then, "Well, unless it did happen in some version of events." Flynn's eyes widened. "Time branches. Papa talked about them, too. The idea that every choice creates a new timeline." "What if," Jude said slowly, "in some alternate version of history, Lincoln was assassinated at Gettysburg, And someone from that timeline, maybe Papa, maybe someone else, sent this letter back to prevent it. But that would mean, well, it would mean the assassination is real. It's supposed to happen, and if we don't stop it, history changes permanently. The sound of cannon fire rolled across the fields, closer than before. Below, someone screamed. "Okay," Clara said, forcing her voice steady. "Okay, so we have two jobs. First, fix a time machine so we can get home. Second, stop an assassination that might or might not be real." She paused. "And we have 3 days to do both." "Two and a half," Flynn corrected. "July 4th is the day after tomorrow. We had better get started." They spread Papa's notes across the hayloft, the damaged journal, Jude's backup notebook, every scrap of paper they could salvage from their pockets. Clara, who had always been the best at organizing, divided them into piles: time machine mechanics, temporal theory, and everything else. "The core problem," Jude said, studying a half-burned diagram, "is the cesium oscillator. It's the heart of the time machine. It creates the frequency that opens the temporal window. Flynn, you said you have it?" Flynn pulled the brass housing from his pocket. It was dented, but intact. A small glass chamber visible through a crack in the casing. Inside, something shimmered faintly. "It's damaged," Flynn said. "I don't know how badly." Jude took it carefully, turning it in his hands. "The housing is cracked, but the oscillator itself still might work. If we can find the right materials, copper wire, a power source, something to amplify the signal." "There's a blacksmith in town," Clara offered. "I heard Mrs. Weichert mention him. He might have copper." "And there are telegraph batteries at the field hospital," Flynn added. "I saw them earlier." "That could work," Jude set the oscillator down gently. "But we need more than that. The machine didn't just break, it scattered. There should be other components nearby. The temporal stabilizer, the field generator." "I only found a few pieces," Flynn said. "Everything else is probably still in the woods or destroyed." "Then we search," Clara's voice was firm. "Tomorrow, after the battle moves, we go back to where you woke up, Flynn, and we find everything we can." "And the assassination?" Jude asked. "We work on both," Clara met her brother's eyes. "That's what Papa would do. Multiple problems, multiple solutions. We don't give up on either one." A ladder creaked below them, and all three fell silent. A moment later, General Chamberlain's head appeared through the hayloft opening. "There you are," he pulled himself up, wincing slightly, sitting on a bale of hay. "Making progress?" "Some," Jude said cautiously. "We might be able to repair the time machine, but we need materials." "I suspected as much." Chamberlain reached into his coat and pulled out a folded paper. "This arrived an hour ago, intercepted from a Confederate courier." He handed it to Jude. The message was brief, written in a sharp, angular hand. "The temporal anomalies have been located. Proceed with phase two. The visitors must not be allowed to interfere with the July 4th operation. Failure is not acceptable. M." "Who's M?" Flynn asked. "That's what I'd like to know." Chamberlain's face was grim. "Someone in the Confederate command structure is aware of your presence, aware of time travel, and they're planning something for Independence Day that they don't want you to stop." "The assassination," Clara said. "Presumably, though the letter refers to it as an operation, not a killing, which suggests something more complex than a simple shooting." Jude was staring at the message, his brow furrowed. "Temporal anomalies, that's a scientific term. Whoever wrote this understands what they are." "A Confederate scientist?" "Or someone from our time," Jude looked at his siblings. "What if we're not the only time travelers? What if someone else came back too? Someone on the other side?" The thought hung in the air, terrifying of its implications. "Tomorrow," Chamberlain said, "the battle resumes. General Lee will throw everything he has at our center, and we will hold. After that, you'll have perhaps 2 days before Lincoln arrives. 2 days to repair your time machine, uncover the plot, and save a president." He stood, his injured foot making him wobble slightly. "I'll do what I can to help. Supplies, protection, intelligence. But I'm a soldier, fighting a war. My attention will be divided." "We understand," Clara said. I hope so, Chamberlain looked at each of them in turn, because the fate of the nation, perhaps of history itself, may rest on what happens in the next 48 hours. He climbed down the ladder, leaving the three siblings alone with their notes, their damaged technology, and a mystery that seemed to grow darker by the hour. Outside, the sun was setting over the Pennsylvania hills, painting the sky in shades of red and gold. Tomorrow, those hills would run with blood. And somewhere in the chaos, a conspiracy was unfolding that could change the world. So, Flynn said quietly, what do we do? Clara reached out and took her brother's hands. We figure it out, together. That's what Martins do. Jude nodded. For Papa, for home, for history, Flynn added. They sat there as darkness fell, three children from the future, trying to save a past they barely understood. And in the distance, the guns fell silent at last. Well, the plot thickens. This time travel is complicated. And speaking of time travel, hopefully somewhere in the future, you'll find your way back to the next chapter. See you then.